Thank you, Brother Gordon, for that psalm selection tonight, and thank you for being in our assembly. As we look tonight at some passage from the prophet Jeremiah, and I've selected the passage in Jeremiah 23, verses 21 through 32. I'll give you a second to locate that in your Bible. The title of our lesson is Not My Word Like Fire, which is a phrase contained in this section. The surrounding verses laying the setting for our study tonight as we look at Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 21. The Lord is speaking to Jeremiah about conditions in Jeremiah's day that he is to address vocally. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, or do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Is not my word like fire? That text is found in a context, of course, that's speaking against the false prophets of the day, where God says, I didn't send these false prophets, but they ran as if God sent them. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off, in verse 23? God is everywhere. He sees everything. This should have made an impact on the false prophets. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. I had a dream. No man can hide from God. God knows the false teachings of the false prophet. He knows the deceit that's in their hearts. And he knows also that these words of the false prophets have led his people astray in verse 32. God is against those false prophets, clearly in this section of Scripture. They take God's word away from the people rather than giving God's word to them. They didn't furnish his people the slightest benefit. Throughout the Bible, God's people were continually departing from God, and one of the major reasons was the false prophet and words that were not true. The true prophet, of course, was to speak God's word faithfully. to speak it clearly as God intended, as God commanded them. And so it is today. Those who speak for God speak His words, and His words are like fire. God's word will work like fire in our lives today if we allow it to. You know, if you are talking with someone who is in a place who had never seen fire before, how would you describe it? How would you relate to that person what you think in a descriptive way that the phenomenon that we call fire is? I think about that a lot of times when I'm sitting by a fire or around a campfire or see a fire in someone's fireplace in the wintertime. And just like when I was a small boy, a fire captivates my attention. The flames are wisping up, and it's like little ghost dances of the brightest orange. It's a strange phenomenon to try to describe to someone what it appears to be, what it is. I have a great difficulty in trying to explain fire, but we know the things that it does. Let us consider in our lesson tonight the ways in which God's Word is like fire and what it can do in our lives. God's Word is like fire because it gives light. If you think about how valuable light is to us, what if we didn't have light and we had to grope around in the darkness, kind of like that mole in my front yard that's digging his way in darkness through the dirt in my front yard, in my side yard, in my backyard, destroying everything. He lives a life in darkness. Underground most of the time, can't ever catch him above ground. How valuable light is. It helps us to see in darkness, and it provides a direction for us. Because when things are illuminated, we see them as they are, and we take proper direction. And we move our steps in a proper direction to go to the place where we want to go, or to exit the building during a storm when the automatic lights come on. We need some light to see. It gives us direction. It keeps us from stumbling. It helps us to feel secure to have lights. Have some grandchildren that are afraid of the dark. Or your children, you remember, when they were afraid of the dark. If they slept with a light on, they felt secure. Light provides security from things that we fear from our childhood that go bump in the night. Things that seem to be something in the night when, oh, they're really not when the light is on. When the moonlight glimmers and you see, oh, what I thought was a monster is a deer in the backyard. Or that old stump that I forgot about. Or as a child, when you wake up in your bedroom at night because you thought you heard something and it's dark, no lights are on. And you look over and you see the silhouette of something in front of the window and you start shaking because you're afraid. And the next morning after you've shaken yourself asleep, buried under the covers as if the covers are going to protect you from something dangerous. And you wake up the next morning, you realize, I draped my coat over that nightstand and it was in front of the window. I thought it was something scary. Light provides security for us. The light that is seen from God's Word is even more important. The psalmist wrote in one of the most beautiful psalms that anyone could ever write, extolling the virtues of the wonderful, powerful, great Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 105. A passage that's familiar to us. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's Word sheds marvelous light in our lives, and it allows us to see the direction that we should follow and the path that we should walk to be secure. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." A Christian is described as one taken from darkness into light. Jesus tells Paul that he was chosen to go to the Gentiles, and in Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Those in darkness are under the power of Satan, and those in the light are under the power of God. And today there are so many people who are walking in darkness and not under the power of God. They're walking in the wrong direction. Psalm 119 in verse 130, "The unfolding of your words gives light." It gives understanding to the simple. God's word is like a fire because it gives light. And we see. We see what is illuminated by the light of God. And we can conduct ourselves accordingly, which would be in a safe passage, in a secure way. Because things are illuminated for us. And it provides us security. And things that seem one way in the dark really seem another way in the light when we see them clearly. We see and we understand. What a great word picture to describe God's word for men. Men can see it and men can understand. And men can find their way because of God's word. How wonderful that is. God's word is like a fire because it gives light. Also, it's like a fire because it comforts. You know, there's nothing more comfortable in the wintertime when you're cold than nestling up to a nice warm wood fire. Is there? Have you ever been just chilled to the bone? Maybe you've been outside working and the temperature has dropped and the wind started blowing and you feel like your bones are freezing. You're so cold. And you come into a place where there's a nice warm fire, enhanced, of course, by a cup of hot chocolate or something. But doesn't that good warm fire, that wood fire burning in the wood burner or glowing in the fireplace, you just nestle up to that like it's your best friend. And it feels so good and it's so very comfortable and it thaws you and you feel good. Fire causes you to be happy. It causes great emotion of cheer in your life, comfort and security. The farther one gets away from the fire, the less he is warmed and the less he is comforted. And so it is with the comfort that God's Word provides for us. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18 of those who died in Christ, when he described what it would be like, "Some brethren thought that if they died before the Lord came again, they would miss the whole experience and they would miss heaven." And Paul said it's not that way. And he described it for them in this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4. And after he does describe it, he says in verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." And you can think about being cold and being in front of that nice warm fire. And that's the kind of comfort that you get from God's words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God's word comforts us in times of trouble. And isn't it a wonderful comfort? And when we are comforted by God's words, what that does for us is spurs us on to show other people the comfort of God's Word, doesn't it? Psalm 119 in verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your Word has revived me." God's Word. Your Word has revived me. How does God's Word comfort us? How does it revive us in the day in which we live? It provides salvation for us. Is that not a comforting thought to every child of God, to know that we are among the saved because our sins are forgiven and Christ has paid the penalty, and we believe in Him and we put trust in Him and faith in Him that He will carry out His promises made to us? Doesn't God's Word comfort us when we are persecuted by others who don't know the truth or understand the truth or appreciate the truth? Doesn't it provide a good measure of comfort for us when we're in sorrow for the various reasons we could be sad and grieving in this life? When we're stressed out about something? Isn't God's Word a great comfort for us? It's comforting to know that we have a God who cares about us and who provides for our needs. Remember that the farther we get from God's Word, the less comfort we will receive. If you feel like you're not being comforted enough from God's Word, draw near. Draw near to God's Word more. Make that deliberate effort to move yourself toward it more, and you will be greatly comforted. God's Word is like fire because it gives comfort. Also, it's like fire because it is penetrating. Fire has the power to burn right through metal. Some of you have never been in a welding shop or in an industrial setting and have not seen the bright glow of that flame of an acetylene torch. It's cutting through a piece of metal and sparks are flying everywhere, and the man who's operating that torch has a very thick glass over his eyes that's darkened. And if you work in the plant, you're warned about this tremendous glow of heat that can not only affect the person who is working close to that torch, but also you. Even if you're several feet away and you stand there and look at the brightness of that flame, your eyes can be damaged. And they warn you about the hazard of that, because the bright glow of that penetrating fire is so very intense and your eyes are so delicate. Fire has the power just to burn right through metal. It's powerful. And if you think about you, especially in the summertime, don't you feel some radiating heat from the sun on those 90 degree days or 100 degree days when you walk out to get the mail or you're out mowing your grass and the sun is burning down on you? Don't you feel that penetrating radiation from the heat that is 8 minutes and 19 seconds away in light speed, which is so strangely removed from our way of measuring distances that it's very difficult to explain how far away that heat source is. But you feel that radiation from it, don't you? It's powerful. It's penetrating. It's hot enough that it can penetrate anything. And as fire is able to penetrate, so can the Word of God, we're told in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Showing the penetrating nature of God's Word and using picture language to describe how penetrating it is. It can penetrate inside a person. And as a two-edged sword would cut his body all to pieces, the Word of God can penetrate there. But not only that, it can penetrate through the spirit world and through our spirits and through our living souls. It is so penetrating. It's able to penetrate through the hardest of hearts, if you think about it. When hard-hearted people begin to listen to it and ease up their stubbornness and consider the Word of God, it'll penetrate. It certainly will. Like a two-edged sword, able to cut both going and coming. Paul admonished the Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 17 to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice that it's not the Spirit that penetrates. It's the sword of the Spirit that penetrates, the Word of God. When the Word of God penetrates the hearts of men, one of two things will occur. And we see that in the book of Acts. One thing that could possibly occur, as is the case in Acts 2 and verse 37, when Peter preached to those people and the people heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And their response to Peter and the rest of the apostles was, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They took that penetrating word into their hearts and it affected them so that they were willing at that point to alter their behavior. But the Word of God has a piercing effect in another way that's described in Acts 5 and verse 33. When Peter and the apostles were before the Jewish council, but when they heard this, those of the Jewish council who were opposed to the preaching of Peter and the apostles, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. There's another type of reaction that penetrating Word of God provides. The Word of God is like a fire because it penetrates the heart of men. And when it exposes the evil in a man, he wrestles with it. And he fights it and he strives to get away from it and hide himself from the light. Others, when it penetrates, they think more seriously and soberly about their condition before God. God's Word is like a fire because it purifies. Precious metals are separated from the dross, the impurities, by fire. Fire burns these impurities, these wastes, these foreign materials out of metal. They are burned away. Fire is a purifying agent. I remember as a young boy when we would go to Birmingham, Alabama and visit my father's parents who lived there, leaving the downtown area on First Avenue and headed east and going over what Granddaddy called the Viaduct, the bridge over the place where the slosh furnace was. And a lot of times at night, we would cross that, and he would be in the right-hand lane so the boys could be looking out the window and watching to see if they were going to open up that furnace or they were going to pour off some of the slag. And it was such a bright, intense fire. Many times we saw that. And having a distinct smell that probably I'll remember the rest of my days as to what that was like. When they tap that furnace and let some of the impurities roll out down through the trough so they could take the prized portion of that and form it, shape it, and use it for good purposes. Tapping off the dross, the impurities of that is something that fire can do because of its purifying effect. As fire purifies, so does the Word of God in John 15 and verse 3. Jesus, when he was talking about the fact that he is the vine for believers and believers produce fruit, he said in verse 3 of John 15, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." The purifying nature of God's Word is intense, powerful, wonderful. It cleans. It removes filth, just as a purifying fire would in the case of precious metals. Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 5, 26 and 27, when he was describing how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and he said, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. The church is purified, cleansed, made clean and holy by the word of God. It produces a spotless church. Isn't it so powerful? Peter wrote and said in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. But grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. What a precious word it is. Not simply the word that purifies, but the word that brings about our obedience to God. How wonderful that is. We need to use the word of God to burn the impurities out of our lives and help others to burn the impurities out of their lives with that living fire. The word of God is like a fire because it purifies. And then, the word of God is like fire because it does destroy. The same fire that can warm our homes and keep us warm and cozy in the wintertime can get out of control and can end up destroying our homes. Fire burns down acres and acres and acres of timber in our country every day. Up in smoke, we say. Total destruction. The same fire that cooks your meals can burn you up. Fire can help you, or it can destroy you. God's word is much the same way. If you obey it, it will help you. If you fight against it, if you disobey it, ultimately, it will destroy you. Paul to the Thessalonians in the second letter, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. That'll be a destructive fire, won't it? Look what he says will happen with those angels in that flaming fire, dealing out retribution, punishment, dealing out bad things with that flaming fire to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. God is going to take a vengeance in the day of judgment. And fire will be one of the tools that He uses to do that. The destructive nature of fire. The disobedient will be punished eternally. In Mark 16 and verse 16, we're told that the people who believe and are baptized shall be saved, but the disbelievers will be condemned. The obedient are saved by the word of God. The disobedient will be lost and come to know the retribution of God in a flaming fire. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, that the one who rejects him and does not receive his sayings has one who judges him. The word that I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. We will certainly be judged by God's word. The word can save us or it can cause us to be lost, depending on how we receive those words, depending upon our response to those words of God, those precious words, those powerful words. Yes, Jeremiah, you are correct. God's word is like a fire. Very much so. How are you responding to God's word today? Are you allowing it to do all that it can to help you and comfort you in this life? It has that great power to be able to do that. Are you allowing God's Word to be that way for you? Or do you give little or no attention to it, not appreciating it fully as you should? God's Word can do great things for us, but we must receive it. We must accept it. We must take it on God's terms. Will you accept God's Word today? Will you allow God's Word to do what it is intended to do to bless you in this life? I hope that you will. And I hope that if you're here tonight and we can help you with that, that you will allow us to help you to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. And if that's the case, please let us know and we'll all pray with you and pray for you. And your obedience to God and blessings will follow as a result. God promises that, and His promises are sure. If we can help you, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song number 297.